You're listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. This is your host, Art Bennett. On Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls, we try to bring the fullness of the Catholic faith into our everyday lives, the families and our jobs and our everyday occurrences to make the faith alive and governing in our lives. Today we have a great guest and a great topic. The topic is how to keep your teenagers Catholic, and our guest is Father Fran Pefley. Father Pefley has been on the program before. He talked to us about how to protect and nurture the Catholic faith for our children, and today we're going to focus a little bit more on the teenagers. Father Pefley has given this talk about how to keep teens Catholic at a variety of forums, most recently at the Catholic Home Educators Forum, the NAICH Conference here in Virginia. He's also spoken about this topic at various parishes here in Northern Virginia. He's the pastor of Holy Trinity Parish. I'm proud to say my parish as well, where I hear Father Pefley all the time. He is known for his commitment to the Legion of Mary. Legion of Mary is very strong and abundant here in Northern Virginia, and Father Pefley is one of the main reasons that's the case. Anyway, Father Pefley, welcome back to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls.
Oh, thanks, Art. It's great to be back.
Well, you know, when you think about teenagers and keeping the faith, a lot of times with teenagers, we're just trying to think about just how to keep them out of trouble. We're not actually focused sometimes on how to help them grow, just keep them out of trouble, because there seem to be a lot of challenges in our world today that make us tempted to be discouraged about raising kids. Do you want to talk a little bit about those challenges?
Well, I think raising kids 50 years ago and raising kids today is a big difference. I was reading a study not too long ago that said 50 years ago, the number one influence on kids was their parents and grandparents and family members. The second big influence was their school and church. The third influence was their friends. And the fourth was the media. That was 50 years ago. Today, the big influence on kids is number one is now their friends. Number two is the media. Number three, parents, family members. And number four is the school and church. So we see how things have changed in dramatic ways, very sad, unfortunate ways. And the influence on kids today is so much different than it was back 50 years ago.
So we can understand parents' concern with that study, because parents have been dropped from 1 to 3, and then the church is dropped from 2 to 4. So there has been a slide, both for the one influencing the parents and the thing they're trying to influence, the faith. So for parents to be concerned, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so the challenge is out there, Father. So our kids are being kind of drawn away from our influence as parents and away from the church's influence. So this is a time when we probably have to take a little bit more responsibility, pay a little bit more attention, and not just let the culture kind of grab our kids and drift that way.
Yeah, I think that the key is to develop that relationship between the parents and children, to make that so much stronger, so that becomes the strongest influence in the life of the kids, and not the media, not the friends. So the study I'd mentioned was kids in general. But I think in specific families, we still have the big influences, the parents, the grandparents, the church, and then eventually comes the friends and the media. I think those are the families that are able to keep their kids Catholic and keep them close to the family. So I think that it is possible with the parents to develop that relationship with the kids through communication, through building the relationship, the honor and respect and acceptance that can be there. That can make a big difference in the kid's life, and that relationship can be so strong that the other influences won't nearly be as powerful.
So one of the things you're highlighting, Father, is that the whole aspect of having a strong and good relationship with our kids, that's not something we want to give up, and that's not something we want to just kind of say, well, I don't have the personality for that, or it's not my style. We really have to place a very high priority on that if we hope to influence our kids through the teenage years.
Oh, I think so. Josh McDowell once said that if you just have rules without a relationship, it leads to rebellion. Whereas if you have a relationship first with the kids, and you might have rules, but they will respond to those rules if there is that relationship. So I think that is the key, is staying close to the kids during those teenage years, so that influences is so much more powerful than the other bad influences out in our society.
Well, what are some tips you have for parents on maintaining the relationship? You talked about, you know, kind of building an atmosphere of respect. What are some practical things that parents can do with their teenagers? Because sometimes teenagers kind of cue us to leave us alone. You ask them how their day was at school, and sometimes it's like mining for gold to get them to disclose anything. So parents kind of think we can get discouraged that it's just too hard or maybe not something the kid wants.
I think the key is trying to keep the communication open and strong. And I think if parents can listen to their children, really listen, and just spend time with the kids, you know, without the radio, without the TV, without the newspaper. There was a study a couple of years ago that the average father only spent 2 minutes a day in uninterrupted attention with their infant child, and I think it was 7 minutes a day with their teenager in focused, uninterrupted conversation without the radio, without the TV, without the newspaper. And so I think if we can increase that time, just spending more time with the kids, just being in their presence, being a good listener, finding out what they're interested in, let them talk, and then really listen to them, and hopefully that listening builds trust. And the more we, I think, are willing to listen to the kids, ask them questions about what they're interested in, I think that can help build trust.
Yeah, 7 minutes a day, let's say a half hour a week, that's not really going to cut it. It would be very hard to be a strong influence on somebody with that very sparse time. So it sounds like one of the things you're kind of highlighting here is we need to take opportunities, maybe even create more opportunities so we can spend more time with our kids so we can, you know, I get the impression, Father, it's almost like, what can I do so I can maintain a influence on my child? And you're saying, well, you've got to have a strong relationship with your kid, and that takes time, and that takes energy, and that takes effort.
There's a saying that one time in your life you're going to have to spend time with your kids, either when they're young, forming them, or when they're older, visiting them in prison. So I mentioned that at the conference. Everybody got a big kick out of that. But the idea is that kids spell love, not L-O-V-E. They spell love, T-I-M-E. The kids want to spend time with people that they love, and hopefully, just by spending time. You know, when I was growing up, that's one of the things that my parents did. They would, you know, obviously spend time with us and just go out into the backyard and throw the baseball with my dad. That was it was very simple, very inexpensive, but it was just spending time throwing the baseball back and forth, throwing the football, just going out fishing for a couple hours with my dad, spending time doing activities. It didn't have to be going to Disney World or anything expensive, but just that time doing things together, working in the yard together, that was a big help.
We're talking with Father Francis Pepley. Father Pepley is talking to us about, well, he's really giving us tips that we need not be discouraged, are ways to keep the faith alive even with our teenagers. You're listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Welcome back to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. This is your host, Art Bennett. Our guest today is Father Francis Pepley. Father Pepley is a pastor in Northern Virginia at Holy Trinity Parish and is well known in this region across the country really for his ways of spreading the faith and getting people excited and interested in the Catholic faith. Today we've given him a tough topic, and that's okay, Father Pepley can handle it, on teenagers, because a lot of us get discouraged that this is maybe one of the toughest periods of a person's life. As parents, we sometimes resort to hand-wringing and kind of discouragement. So Father Pepley is giving us some real specific things we can do, and I think the thing you really hit hard on the last segment, Father, was, well, it's not an option to have a good time-consuming, time-giving relationship with your kids. We must have that, or we've really kind of lost the game before it starts.
I think the kids need to feel, not only know that their parents love them, but actually feel that the parents love them. That's a big difference.
So what are some things, all right, I want to get that emotional attachment and not just the intellectual attachment with my kids. What are some things we can do then?
I think it starts way before the teenage years. Mm-hmm. They say even in the womb, the child will know if it's being loved and accepted by the mother, and I'm sure by the father as well. So even from the womb, there's a connection, a bonding that begins with the parents, and that's something that can be fostered in those young years. Somebody once said that many people have to spend the next 50 years of their life getting over the first five.
Yeah.
And it's such a powerful thought to think the environment that the child is raised in those early days can affect their future. So the job of parents, of course, is to create a healthy environment for the child physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and so that they can have a home. The child will have a safe, secure haven, a place of love, joy, and peace to be raised in. So long before the teenage years, I think it really begins in the home of creating an environment that's a place of love, joy, and peace, where there's laughter, which is always a sign of a healthy relationship, whether it be marriage or workplace or parent-child relationships. So those are some of the things that even in the early days, if the parents can try to create a place of encouragement, of praise, affection, and love, then I think it's going to be much easier to be able to pass on the Catholic faith if the environment is there. If the nature is there, then grace can build on nature. If the soil is good, then you can plant the seed of the faith in that good soil.
I think this is worth highlighting, Father, because sometimes I meet very Orthodox Catholics, very good Christians, who sometimes can minimize the relationship aspect. They'll focus on the content of the faith. They'll focus on theological and dogmatic aspects, which are very, very fundamental and very important. But boy, if that relationship isn't there, it's almost like you can't, the message won't get across. The message sent won't be the message received unless the lines of communication are open and they stay open through a strong relationship.
Right. And I think that the foundation of building that relationship will be the rock solid foundation upon which the faith can then be passed on. Because the faith is really imparted. It's passed on from men and women of great faith. They pass that faith on to the children. But that soil, that environment, has to be a good environment to be able to receive the faith. If the children don't have that relationship with the parents, it's going to be so much harder for them to be able to share their faith and pass on their faith with the kids.
Okay, then so let's say we've committed to the relationship, and like you pointed out, I think it's worth highlighting, this starts early in the game, not just, oh my goodness, I have a 13-year-old, I better start having a relationship. This starts early in the game, the relationship is there. What kind of things are we kind of transporting? What kind of things do we want to kind of bring across to our kids to make sure that the faith is something that's not just ancillary, but also something essential in their lives?
Well, I think it's the example that the parents give. There's a saying that example speaks louder than words. And remember when there was a story of St. Francis told Brother Leo, let's go out and preach today. And Brother Leo said, sure, let's go. St. Francis took him through Assisi, through the town, and they walked through the town square. They walked all around the square, through the marketplace, and they left, and they went back home. And Brother Leo said, Francis, you said we were going to preach. He said, we just did. And the point was that just their witness, just their example, was a powerful witness to the people. They did not have to say a word, but they were witnessing by their example and the way they live their life. So that would be the first point I'd make to parents is give good example to your children. Be real, be sincere, be genuine in the practice of your own faith, and the kids will respond to that. You know, kids hate hypocrisy, I think, more than anything.
I think that's a real important point. Isn't that especially true of teenagers? Teenagers seem to have a nose and a real abhorrence for two-facedness and hypocrisy. I think that's really true.
I think if the parents really are genuine, really if they're believers, if they're sincere and devout and are walking the walk and talking the talk, that will make a big difference in the lives of the teenagers. They'll see it's genuine, it's sincere. I remember there was a story of one of our Nashville Dominicans who was a principal at one of my former parishes. She wrote in a newsletter to the parents of the school that what made a big impact on her more than anything else was seeing her dad wake up every morning, and before he went out to work, he knelt down by the side of his bed. Grown man, rancher, farmer, you know, big, strong man, knelt down by the side of his bed and said his morning prayers. And then he would get up and go off to work. And as a young girl, she knew that her dad didn't even see her watching this, but that made such a great impression on her that he was so genuine and so sincere in his faith that she eventually became a religious sister and her brother became a priest.
So we parents, one of the things I'm kind of picking up on your comments, Father, is you're kind of highlighting we have an awful lot of influence on our kids. We just pretty much need to exercise it and to step up to it. So example is important. Is it necessary to talk about the faith too, or can we just show them how important it is?
Well, I think the example is vital, but obviously sharing the faith verbally is so important, taking them to church, taking them to confession on a regular basis. I would say during the teenage years, the parents need to take their kids to confession at least once a month, and the parents themselves should be going to confession at least once a month, and obviously go to Mass as a family. And I think those are some of just the basic things that will be vital in passing on the faith, is regular Mass attendance on Sundays and holy days, monthly confession, and then also, sharing the faith verbally with the kids, passing that on, talking about the faith, saying grace at meals with the kids, and so that they see that you're living the faith, not only by example, but also in words, too.
We're talking with Father Fran Pepley, and Father Pepley is talking to us about, well, a tough topic, but he's given us some real specific things that can help us overcome our discouragement and help us be more encouraged on how to keep our teenagers Catholic, how to help the faith not only survive but thrive during the teenage years. Well, Father, you've talked a lot about stepping up to the challenges. These days are particular challenges we have to step up to. You've talked about the importance of a relationship. If we don't have a relationship, then we really can't pass anything on. You've talked about example. You've talked about really walking the talk here, taking the kids to the sacraments and showing a vitality of the faith from the parents themselves. And kind of narrowing in here, well, give us more specific things we can do that are going to really kind of bridge this gap with our kids.
I would recommend that parents entrust and consecrate their children and the whole family to the Blessed Mother, because Our Lady's role is always to lead us to Christ. And if I know when I was born and my two sisters, when we were born and baptized, on our baptismal day, our parents consecrated us and entrusted us to the Blessed Mother. Because the Blessed Mother not only was the mother of the Lord, but she's our own spiritual mother. And spiritual mothers want to keep us safe from all physical, spiritual harm. And I think that's a great thing for parents to do, is entrust their children to Our Lady. And Mary, watch over our children, keep them close to your son, Jesus, as they grow up. Now, if you've not done that in the early days, it's not too late. You can still do that. Now, even when the kids are older, entrust them to the Blessed Mother, consecrate them, encourage them to wear the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel or the miraculous medal of Our Lady. Just by wearing that sign, that sacramental, we are entrusting that person to Our Lady's care, and hopefully the teenagers will wear their scapular or their medal as a sign that they want to be under Mary's loving guidance and protection.
What a great witness that is, too, when the kids do that. Okay, so entrusting to the Blessed Mother, right out of the gate with that, okay.
Another thing I'd recommend is the family should consecrate itself to the Sacred Heart of Christ. And we do this, it's called the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, where the family, the father, the mother, the children, have a little prayer service in the home. It lasts about 10 or 15 minutes. A priest can be there if you'd like, or the family can do the prayers on their own. They get an image or a picture of Christ showing His Sacred Heart, which is a sign of His, symbol of His love, His burning love for each soul. And then the family enthrones that or places it in a place of honor, over the mantle, maybe in the living room or the dining room, some public place. What I found is that in most families, the television is king, right? The television is enthroned in like some magnificent place, and Jesus is relegated off to the side somewhere. But hopefully in Christian and Catholic homes, the Lord will be the king and center of that family.
So this
that
is another
enthronement can help to visibly show that Christ is king and Lord of that home.
I was going to say, you mentioned earlier that the media is actually more of an influence on most kids than Christ, and so this is another way of getting Christ where He belongs, right on the top there. Huh?
Oh, I agree. And it would also be important that to find other families that have the same beliefs as your family, and try to spend time with those families. Try to encourage the kids to become friends with other good kids who have the faith, who practice their faith. These kids don't have to leave their faith during the teenage years. Sometimes parents think, oh, the kids will drift away during the teenage years, but they don't have to. They can remain strong in their faith, especially if you can get them active in the church by being involved in the church, maybe the church choir or playing music in one of the church's choirs, helping out lecturing or being involved in apostolic work, visiting the sick, making rosaries, getting involved in the Junior Legion of Mary or other apostolic work. There's a saying that if you're either going to be converting the world or being converted by the world.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't try to spread our faith, we tend to lose our faith. So if you can get the kids out there spreading their faith, then that's probably the greatest way to keep them from losing their faith.
Of course, this is also using one of the primary motivators of teenagers, which is friendship. So in other words, helping them or putting them in the presence of capable of being friendly kids, so that that'll help them see kids living their faith and will inspire them to do the same.
That's a great idea. If there's families where you have the same beliefs, and if they have teenagers the same age, try to spend time, even go on family vacations, go down to a family, like a camping trip. You can get a couple families together, and it's a great way to develop the good, wholesome friendships that can exist between teenagers. I would really recommend taking the kids out to Steubenville University, Franciscan University of Steubenville,
mm-hmm.
for their high school and teen conferences that they have, you know, a couple times a year. I've seen kids dramatically changed and converted, and really had a major conversion experience when they go on those weekends at Steubenville.
Probably about 30 seconds left. You've given us some great stuff on the Blessed Mother, Sacred Heart, other families and friendships. Any other things we can carry with us?
The last thing I would say is parents should be praying the rosary every day for their children. And the rosary is like a net that you cast, a mantle that you cast over your children. And I would really recommend that every parent pray the rosary every day for the spiritual and physical and emotional well-being of their children, that the Blessed Mother will watch over them and keep them close to Christ.
So you've given us the full range here, Father. You started off by emphasizing the necessity of a relationship with our kids. And I think that's really important to emphasize. It's not enough for us just to have a relationship with Christ. We have to have a strong relationship with our children. And then we have to lead by example. And I guess that speaks for us parents, that we really have to work on our own formation as well. We never really can stop growing the faith and know that our kids are watching us. I think one of the things you really emphasize well, Father, is we are probably more of an influence on our kids than we think we are. It's just these days we have to fight for it a little bit more because of some cultural trends. And then you really broke it down on real specific things, taking our kids to the sacraments frequently. You mentioned, you even recommended a monthly visit for confession as an example, and of course weekly Mass and maybe more often. And then a commitment to the Blessed Mother, to the Sacred Heart, to other families and friends with like-minded faith, and also of course family prayer, and you highlighted the rosary as a great net to kind of keep our kids aboard. Father Pepe, I really want to thank you for doing for us here on the radio what those of us in Holy Trinity Parish get to experience all the time.
Thank you very much, Art.
Great. Also, for those of you who want more information on Father Pepe, who has a wide variety of talks and tapes and other writings, you can go to his website. You'll get that by going to www.transporter.com. When you get to that website, you'll see a selection of other websites. Father Pepley's is there. I tell you, when you go into it, you'll find a lot of interesting things, a lot of very handy, practical aspects. Father Pepley has a great gift of merging the practical with the religious in a way that's extraordinary. And you've been listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls, brought to you here at WUST 1120 AM on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 6 to 6:30.